In our gospel lesson, we catch the tail end of the story of Nicodemus. If you remember that part of the story, a man named Nicodemus comes to see Jesus by night. But he's not just an anybody. He's a prominent person. He's a powerful person. He's also an inquiring, intellectual sort of person. I suppose maybe that's why he comes to Jesus by night. Maybe he doesn't want anybody to see him there. He's referred to as a teacher of Israel. And of course, we know in the university context, it might very well be teachers are the least likely to admit that they don't actually know anything. And so he comes to him by night, perhaps, out of the dark. Already in John's Gospel, Jesus has been introduced to us as the light of the world, the light coming into the darkness. And so maybe, again, Nicodemus comes to be enlightened. They've been in conversation back and forth together. And Nicodemus asks repeatedly, well, how can these things be? It's as though he wants Jesus to explain himself. And near the end of their nocturnal conversation comes the great line that we heard this morning, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Yeah, okay, but what does that mean? How can that be? How can this enigmatic, wandering, homeless rabbi be God's answer to what's wrong with the world? What's wrong with human sin and our brokenness? And we cry out like Nicodemus, well, how can this be? It's a season of Lent, so it's one more chance to talk about sin. Our notion of sin is, like Israel before us, a little peculiar. And we note that for most of us, most of the time, our situation is that we live lives with a set of lies that we tell about ourselves. False stories we tell about who we are and what we're meant to be, which means we never get an accurate picture of ourselves. Yet we have learned here in the church that through the lens, through the story of Jesus, we can sometimes see ourselves truthfully. We can start to call things by their proper name. And we believe that through the cross of Christ, we see the utter depth and seriousness and brokenness of ourselves and the world. But only through the story that combines the cross with Easter resurrection do we see the utter resourcefulness, the utter love of God, who is determined to save us even from ourselves. Which means all of that sort of just gets compacted into the gospel reading today. God loves the world so much that God refuses to let us sit in darkness, that no darkness can overcome divine light. So the light shines in the darkness, it shines in our darkness. Nicodemus comes out of the dark, and he wants a straightforward, simple explanation from Jesus. And he will go away a bit disappointed and very bewildered. Jesus responds to their conversation by kind of telling the story again of this weird story from the book of Numbers, from the Old Testament. The Israelites wandering in the wilderness after the escape out of Egypt, waiting perhaps for the promised land. And the people complain. They complain about God, they complain about Moses, even though the Lord has brought them out of slavery. They still complain. The water, no food's no good. Would have been better to be slaves in Egypt than to be out here. So in punishment to all their complaining, the book of Numbers says that God sent poisonous serpents that killed many of the people. The people cry out in lamentation. And again, in response, God tells Moses to construct a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and let the people gaze upon it And when they do, lo and behold, the poisonous serpents don't kill them. They are healed, saved from the serpents. So Jesus uses this weird story to tell Nicodemus that just as the people of Israel were saved by gazing upon that bronze serpent, so Israel and now the whole world will be saved. Even as the bronze serpent is lifted up on a pole, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. Perhaps we can say a better translation of lifted up, to be exalted, to be lifted high. It won't be too many weeks, a couple more weeks now. We'll gather here almost daily for services. And we'll hear again the story of Jesus being lifted up, being exalted. And he shall rise not in glory so much, but rather in humiliation upon the cross. But here Jesus dares to use this brass serpent on a pole as a figure of himself. In the dark of the night, in a conversation with Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, Jesus dares to use a kind of shocking, gripping image, sort of as a parable to what he's doing in the world. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, kind of slithering in, with all sorts of religious questions about eternal life. And Jesus speaks to him of slithering serpents, of darkness, of death, of light, of life, of salvation. And it's all mixed up. And Nicodemus cries out, how can this be? Later on, the gospel writer will call Jesus the Good Shepherd. But in this sort of story, Jesus almost refers to himself as the Good Serpent. For Jesus comes to us, comes among us, slithering into our illusions of ourselves, the illusions of our stability and our safety. And so we reach for the axe to kill him. He opened his mouth. He spoke words that cut us like a sword, prophetic, even if a bit venomous words. And we beat him and whipped him and stuck him up on a pole. And in lifting him up from earth to heaven, his poisonous, sort of prophetic words of venom become a kind of anti-venom. The humiliation becomes a means of salvation. And even those who killed him, standing at the foot of that pole that day, were able to look up and say, well, truly this is the Son of God. I don't know what any of that means, truthfully. Neither did Nicodemus. Jesus never gives him a straight answer, does not offer a clear definition of what he's doing, who he is as the Messiah, how that all sort of makes it works. Rather, all we get is this weird, strange image, an image that links us back to Israel in the wilderness. Whatever happened out there in the wilderness sort of defies explanation. But then again, whatever happens on the cross sort of defies explanation. I mean, we get a poisonous serpent, a strange snake on a pole that heals, a crucified Savior of the world. I'm sorry if you came here this morning looking for a straight answer, a simple explanation, or even a clear explication of the mysteries of the church. Don't get any of that. But what you might get is a vision, a glimpse into the heart of God, a peek at the Lord's intentions for us and for all humanity. I wonder if Jesus in his encounter with Nicodemus is trying to say, don't analyze, don't define, don't explain. Maybe we're to do what the Israelites did, to look upon him, to gaze at that mystery, to allow that mystery to have its way with us. Again, we're a couple weeks out from Holy Week. One of the perhaps least heralded, but for me, one of the most memorable parts of Holy Week, is three people. It's usually Lee Powell and Doug Swigum and Randy Rausch, slowly carrying the cross up the center aisle on the Good Friday evening. There's no words in that part of the liturgy, just a slow walk, a long gaze. I mean, that's it. But maybe take that sort of as a parable for this lesson this morning. Here we're not to do anything heroic, not asked to do anything for God, rather to simply be asked to behold what God has done, what God is doing, what God is about to do, there on the cross and there on the empty tomb. You're not asked to sort of boldly step up and bear witness to what you have seen and heard, but simply to gaze, to look upon the one lifted up on the cross, arms outstretched to embrace you and me. It is true that during Lent we do a lot of sort of self-examination of the things we have done, the things we have left undone. But at least this Sunday, in overhearing this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, we're urged simply to look, to see with new eyes. Not necessarily to understand, but rather simply to behold, to adore, to look upon the cross, to allow the image to kind of sear itself in you, to have its way with you, to penetrate deeply, and thereby be drawn to the love of God in Christ, drawn near to God. Why? That we may not perish, but have eternal life. Gaze, risk looking, and be saved. Amen.